Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
And Anne's going to share what the Lord is speaking to her.
Well, instead of jumping on Facebook this morning, I went to the faith book, right? Ezekiel 34, God catches Ezekiel up in the spirit and says, look out to the dry bones. He said, prophetically, prophesy, speak to those bones. They took flesh. They came to life. I believe this morning, God is saying, those dry places, I'm going to bring life to it. And when the bones came together and all the ligaments and the tendons, there arose a great army. And the church of God is a great hour, and her finest hour is still yet. And then he spoke to Judah, which is praise. When we are praising and engaging, there is something going on in the heavens. And so the awesome thing about it, it unifies us, a greater intimacy with the Spirit of God. So this morning, as you're worshiping the Lord, just leave yourself open. Just cast away all distractions and just let God come and minister life as living water to you this morning. Amen.
Amen. There is a prophetic itch in the house of the Lord today. You know what happens when you have a prolonged, nagging itch? What do? You scratch it. And God is scratching. God is scratching something today prophetically. If you've listened to the theme, listened through the thread, the prophetic word, through the songs, and through the word from Anne, God is speaking about the impossible things and that he is greater. God is speaking about the impossible things and that he is greater. And yesterday in prayer here at this church, in prayer yesterday, the Lord spoke to me, and I said, God, do I share this through the prayer time, or should I wait until tomorrow? The Lord said, wait for the precious ones who come in tomorrow. Because in Romans 4:18, this is right in line with what God is saying. In Romans 4:18, it says that Abraham, against all hope, still believed God. Abraham, against all hope. There was no reason to have hope. It was insensible. It was nonsense. It was almost irresponsible to have hope. But against all hope, he believed God. And the Bible and the Word of God says in that verse, it says, and he believed what? He believed that the one who had promised. You see, he had promises from God. And the Word of the Lord says that he believed God, and because of his believing, he became the father of all nations, according to the word of the Lord. You know what I'm excited about? I'm excited that because of the blessing, the heritage of Apostle C, who's here today, that this is a prophetic house. I love a prophetic house. I love being around prophetic people, because when there's a word from the Lord, guess what? There's hope. And so right now, God is speaking, and I believe he wants a response. If you have something impossible in your life for real right now, stand up right now, stand up right now. If you have something impossible, it doesn't matter what it is. If you have something financial, physical, familial, whatever it is, you have something impossible, stand up right now. And right now, let's look to the Lord and just declare this with me. Lord, against all hope, Lord, in the natural, I have no hope. In the natural, it seems hopeless. It is hopeless. But God, in obedience to your word, right now, against all hope, I believe you. God, against all hope, I have no natural hope. I have no human hope. But against all hope, I take hope from you for my situation. And I command the promises of God to come to pass in my life by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus, by the power of God, by the mercies of God. I declare I now have hope, and I receive my promises. I receive my promises because God is greater, 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 because God is greater. Now over this house for just 1 minute, let's give God an uproarious praise. Give him a ridiculous praise right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your name. We bless your name. God of the impossible. God of the impossible. God of the impossible. God of the impossible. We believe you against all hope. We praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah.
I feel like the Lord say, you have no idea. You have no conception of what I want to do, of what I am capable of doing in your life. You have no idea. You cannot conceive what I desire to do through you, through this church, in this place. Everyone says it can't happen here. It can't happen in Silicon Valley. It says it can, they say it can't happen in the Bay Area. The Bay Area is too hard. It's not too hard. Silicon Valley is not too hard for me. These people are not too hard for me. I gain more glory when it's impossible, the more glory to me. I will do it if you will believe. I will do it if you cry out, if you ask, if you seek my face, if you say, Lord, we want this more than anything. We want to see you move here in our community, in our place where we live. You have no idea what I will do if you will cry out, if you will believe, if you will seek my face, says the Lord.
Lord, we just give ourselves to that right now. We declare you are more than enough. We thank you, Lord. You paid the price. Paid it in full. Made an amazing deposit on the cross. When you rose again, we just thank you for that. We declare that you are more than enough today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Let's get started. Get your notes out on your seat. And those in the cafe, it's going to be available. The notes are there as well if you're watching live streaming. Pastor David, if you are watching live from Maui, pray for me. No, we pray for you. We God bless you, and so we're gonna have a fun time here. What I want to do is this is the last session, the last teaching on the subject of greater. How many have been blessed by Pastor David's teaching on greater? We serve a greater God, regardless of whatever we come against. There's God's greatness and His ability to work in and through every situation in life, and He's talked about greater anointing, greater power, greater authority. Regardless of what we face, there is a greater God that we can trust and see and move in our life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. What I want to do this morning here, I'm not going to keep you long, but I want to just share something that's very personable to me. And to me, it is the number one way to see the greatness of God realized in a person's life. There's a lot of good things that we do, that we pray, we read God's word, we help with giving and et cetera, but there's one way that has made the major impact in my life, and that has to do with the reality of what we have available to us, and that is praise and worship of our God. So go to the first slide. In fact, my son's running the slides back there. His name's Gary. Let's give it up for Gary back there. Woo! Yeah. He did a good job in the first service. So what I'm going to be talking about here for a few minutes is declaring God's greatness through praise and through worship, okay? And to me, it is the number one way to engage in life's challenges and to see God brought on the scene, regardless of what you're going through, and the reality of praise and worship, bringing in God's answer, God's presence, God's ability, God's greatness. Let's read this scripture out loud together. Ready, go. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, I will declare your greatness. Now that phrase, great is the Lord and greatly, if we go to the next slide, that word greatly there, in the Hebrew is ma'ud. Ma'ud, everybody say ma'ud. There's your Hebrew lesson for today, okay? Ma'ud, it means to praise God with might, with force, yes, and abundance. The root word means to stoke the fire. So here we have throughout the Bible, God designing and desiring to be among his people. And you have the type in the Old Testament where God says, I want that lamp burning all the time. And then Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, he says, I come to send fire on the earth. And then he says in Acts, he says, the Holy Spirit and fire will come upon you. And so what we see there is the type of fire is the presence of God. And so what he's saying here, I want you to praise him, praise God, praise him greatly, means basically to stir things up so that his fire, his presence can be realized. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Now there's different forms of praise, there's different ways to praise God, but the bottom line is this, is that God has designed praise and worship so that we can experience his presence in our lives. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
What I want to do is tell a little bit about my story in relationship to this whole topic, because for me, this was a very difficult subject when Christ came into my life when I was in college. So I got some family photos here to kind of give you a little bit about my background and kind of lead into something that was very, very, very liberating for me. Now here, this is my clan going back 3-4 generations. The old guy right in the middle, that's Walter, that's my great-grandpa. The guy on the far right is my grandpa, Paul Cobb. The guy on the far left is my dad, Daryl Cobb. And it's me and my bros on the bottom line there. I'm the second one from the right. Now, what's significant about this photo is that it was taken outside of Fort Dodge, Kansas. Fort Dodge established in 1865 by General Dodge, back when the Santa Fe Trail was birthed and you had cowboys, Wild West. In fact, my great-great-grandpa's branding iron is in Boot Hill Museum. And so that's my pedigree going back 4 or 5 generations of where you got cowboys, Wyatt Earp, you got, you know, hard living, hard drinking, riding the cowboys, riding the horses, etc. That's the background, okay? And my great-grandpa is buried there right now at Fort Dodge. And so let's go to the next photo. Now, this here is my grandpa. My grandpa, if you see, there's the cross on his helmet because he was a chaplain in the Army. Major Cobb is a chaplain. And if you look on the far right there, on tilted to the left there, there's the date, May 44, which was a couple of weeks before D-Day in Normandy. And he hit the beaches with the army as a chaplain, praying for soldiers that were giving their last breath. And he prayed with them, led a lot of them to Christ, and that was his job. And when we were kids, my brothers and I, we were kind of enamored by what was going on, and we asked him, what kind of gun did you have? Did you have a rifle? Did you have a pistol, whatever? He pulls a Bible down, and he says, I didn't have a gun. He said, I had this. And he says, it was the most powerful weapon on the beach that day. He was on assignment. So that's, again, part of the DNA, you know, part of the DNA. And then here's the next photo. This is my dad. And this is what he did in the Air Force, Colonel Cobb, Lieutenant Colonel. Now, the guy in the front seat there, that's the SR-71. Some of you might recognize it. In fact, Lee Swander used to work on these the same time at Beale Air Force Base that my dad was there. And but that, the guy in the astronaut uniform towards the front, that's my dad. That's the environment that we lived in, high-performance, Air Force, generals, captains, majors, bomber pilots, fighter pilots. That's my background. Our neighbor to my left, our left was Jack Murphy, ended up with 3 stars on his shoulder. When I was in high school, General O'Malley's daughter, I think she had a crush on me. He had 4 stars on his shoulder because I wasn't interested in her. I wanted to take Donna to the prom. Donna, her dad was the base commander, and he was about 6'4", 6'5", and so I took Donna to the prom, and then I'm at the officers' club the next morning after the prom, and here he walks right up to me like this far, looking over me, and he says, how was my daughter at the prom? And what he was doing is basically sending me a message. You know, I said, everything was fine, sir. That was the environment that I was raised in, okay? Got it? Go to the next slide if you could, Gary, because what I want to talk to you about here today is what the Bible says about praise and worship. And why this is so important here is that there was something that shifted in my life when I was 20 years old, because I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, this is what we used to do. we had a big old black station wagon, and I had four brothers and a little sister. There was eight of us. And so here's my dad, you know, hardcore military, lockjaw pilot, whatever. And we'd get out of the station wagon. My dad didn't say a word. He just clicked his fingers. And we ranked up into two ranks of four. My position was in the back row behind my mom every Sunday going to church. And we go into church, and when you went into church, how many Catholics we got here? Recovering Catholics, how many? Okay, so you know, you go in and you got the holy water, right? By the door there. And we all march in there, we dip the water, and we do the sign of the cross. And then you go in and you genuflect. Y'all ever see that? You genuflect? Want me to demonstrate? I could. We were really good at it. We would genuflect before we'd go sit down and do the sign of the cross. And then we'd sit down. And then we would kneel and stand and kneel and stand. After church, we'd go back out into the foyer. My dad would, two ranks of four, go back in the car. That's the way we were raised. And when you go to church, you zip it, you didn't talk, you went through the mass, etc. Okay, so here's what happened to me. Was I went to college, I wanted to go to the Air Force Academy, play football there, ended up where my eyesight wouldn't allow it. The coaches tried to get a variance, it didn't work out. And by that time, all the other offers, you know, we were talking to Stanford, Oklahoma, Oregon, wanted to play football there, etc. I did pretty good in high school. But everything, all the doors closed. So I ended up at this little school up in Northern California, okay? And when I'm up there, God pulls a rug out from underneath me. And for a couple of years, and I won't go into details, but basically it came to a point where I knew I needed God in my life, okay? There were some things going on where anybody ever have that realization, hey, I need somebody in my life to help me out. So that's what happened. And some buddies of mine, they took me out to this little church. I did not know what a Pentecostal church was. I did not know what the Assembly of God church was. I knew that by me just walking into that church, it was a venial sin. See, you got venial sins, you got mortal sins. I knew I was already having to go to confession because I was walking in this church. So we walk in, and first thing I notice is that they didn't have the bowl for the holy water. I'm thinking, okay, what do you do? And I went and I sat down, but before I sat down, I genuflected at the aisle, and I did this here, and everybody's looking at me like, who's this guy? So we sit down, and then they started the praise and worship, and that's when I lost it. I'm thinking, oh you people. You got to understand, there was a lot of pride, a lot of arrogance. There was a lot of, I mean, we were raised with testosterone. I mean, just, you know, the military like that. And plus the, you know, the athletics and things like that. And I'm sitting in the back there, and these people start clapping their hands. They start raising their hands. One old guy over here starts yelling hallelujah. And I'm thinking, you guys need medicine. You guys, this is so sacrilegious. And I would have left, but the other guy drove. I would have walked out because I thought it was just an abomination. But what happened was towards the end of the service, the pastor there says, if you want to receive Christ in your life, come forward. And so I did. I didn't understand what it meant to be born again. I didn't understand that. I didn't understand what it meant to receive Christ in your life. I was born Christian. I mean, I was baptized when I was a week old. It was a very traumatic event. I remember that. And but anyway, I needed God. I needed God, right? And so I come up forward and they pray for me. And then they said, do you want to be filled with the Spirit? I'm thinking, okay, I'll take everything. So they prayed for me to receive the Holy Spirit. And I kept hearing these people speak in tongues. I'm thinking, what is that? You guys are really bad. You know, they got medicine for that. And that the same thing happened to me. And it freaked me out. I thought it was weird. But here's the bottom line, is I knew God had touched my life. I couldn't explain it, but I knew that night that I was forgiven, that if I had passed away, I would be with him. I couldn't explain it, but there was something that felt so clean, some things that lifted off of me. Now, your story might be a little bit different, but mine here, I could not deny that there's something that had happened in my life. So from that point on, I went to the Catholic Church, and then I went to this other little Pentecostal church at the same time for about 6-8 months before I was kicked out of the Catholic Church. That's a different story. I really was. My wife can attest to that. But so we would go, watch this. So we would go to this Pentecostal church, and I'd be in the back, and I said, no, there's no way. No way, I'm not a fool. My daddy didn't raise me to be a fool. I stood there, and they all carried on, whatever, and I listened to the Bible teaching, but I already decided that I was never gonna behave that way. No, I don't need that. God can touch my life, but I don't need that. But I made the mistake of reading the Bible. And I went to the book of Psalms, and I started to read the book of Psalms. And I already made a mistake that said, because God so had touched my life, that whatever they said, whatever he said in the Bible, I would do. Okay? I'm in. I'm all in. But I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I would have maybe, looked at it a different way. But what I did is I started to read through the book of Psalms. And George, God backed myself against the corner. God backed me up against the wall. And I'm thinking, oh, God, you're killing me. You're absolutely killing me. Because what I found out was that he described to me how I'm to worship him. Okay? And that was, for me, a very difficult experience. Because I already said I would never behave like y'all folks. No, I don't need it. I don't need that. But then the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit starts working on your life, you just go and like, well, God, would you just not touch that, you know? And so what happened was that I began to see some of the scriptures regarding praise and worship to the point where I was upset. At the same time, God was dealing with a lot of pride and arrogance. And so I was so backed into the corner that I went and did a statistical study of the book of Psalms. And I began to look at I got a concordance. Y'all know what a concordance is? It is awesome, where you can look up the words. And I made the mistake of looking up the Hebrew words for praise and worship. And I started digging through this thing, and I put this study together, and it backed me up against the wall. And I'm thinking, God, I got to make a decision. I got to make a decision whether I'm going to worship God the way I want to or the way he wants me to. So put up the next screen here, Gary. And what I want to do is talk about seven of the Hebrew words that really backed me against the wall. Now, this is not all the phrases in the Bible that talk about praise and worship. It's a pretty broad subject. And there's a lot of different ways of doing it. But these are the verses here. These are the phrases here that just nailed me. I mean, God got up in my business big time, okay? So let me walk through these here quickly here, and then we have some more to say that'll be a blessing. So number one, halal. Psalm 150 says, praise the Lord. So here I am at this Pentecostal church, and a guy on the other side starts yelling hallelujah. And I'm thinking, why are you doing that? What is hallelujah? I never heard hallelujah. And I found the word halal, and then I found out you put Yah at the end of it, which is the name of God, Yah, Yahweh. So hallelujah or halal-yah, it means to show, rave, and to celebrate. So when we're saying hallelujah, what we're doing is we're celebrating the Lord. We're showing forth who he is. So everybody say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I thought that was pretty weird at first, but then hallelujah. I started to practice. Number two, yada, means to worship with extended hands. Psalm 42, verse 5. It says there, David says in Psalm 42, verse 5, he says, I will praise you, Lord, for the help of your countenance. That word praise there means yada, which means to lift the hands. And I saw people lifting their hands. And all of a sudden, this conviction over me says, you're going to lift your hands. And I said, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. And then he said, God said, read it again. Praise the Lord. And then I kept seeing these phrases, praise the Lord, yada. In fact, what it means there, yada, in fact, Psalm 42, you can look this up on your notes, whatever, sometime. Psalm 42, 5, David says, praise the Lord for the help of his countenance. In the Hebrew, it is yada, Yeshua, panim. Okay? Yada means to lift the hands. Yeshua is the Lord's name for salvation, for healing, for deliverance, for a display of power. Yeshua. Everybody say Yeshua. And then panim basically means face, to turn towards one. It's almost like John Headley, Pastor John's up here. And he begins to praise the Lord. He lifts his hands. And it's almost like, here's God's face, And I see, and I praise you for the help of your presence, for the help of your countenance. And the root word of panim is panah, which means to turn around. So I'm walking this way, and then I hear this guy over here. If I'm the Lord, I hear this guy begin to praise. All of a sudden, he got my attention. You remember the story about Bartimaeus? Yes. Jesus is coming out of Jericho, and here's Bartimaeus. He's blind, and he says, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. So here's Jesus. He's walking one direction here, and then all of a sudden, he heard something. He heard something, and all of a sudden, he stops, and he turns around. You see, you begin to praise. You begin to yada. There's something that gets Jesus' attention. He stops, turns around. You're looking face to face. It's like it says of Moses, when he spoke to the Lord in the tabernacle, he spoke face to face as a friend speaks to a friend. Everybody say yada.
Yada.
I used to practice in my backyard. No joke, midnight. I saw these words here. I used to go in my backyard before I went did this at church. I practiced. Everybody practiced. It took me a couple months, George, to get him up a little higher. But the only time I ever did that was when he scored a touchdown, right? You know? Or you caught a pop fly or whatever, you know? Or you gave somebody a high five on the sideline. No, I never did yada. Third one there, shabach, to shout, to triumph. Psalm 47, verse 1, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. This is the psalm, scholars tell us, that Jehoshaphat and his posse celebrated after he got the victory over the Ammonites. And so they basically said, hey, we're going to celebrate, let's clap our hands, shout to God for the voice of triumph. And I'm seeing that, and I'm thinking, shabach, triumph, shout. No. I'm not going to shout in this church. No, I was raised right. I'm not going to shout. So basically, conviction came over me, and I would stand in the back of the church, and everybody was, you know, praising and shouting, whatever. I shouted silently. You ever done that? There's no way I was going to make a fool of myself. You might, but I wasn't. No. And then here's the next one, Teyuah. Shouts of joy, a battle cry. Psalm 27, verse 6. David says, now is my head lifted above my enemies round about, and I will offer in your tabernacle shoutings of joy. So, Steve, I would be reading the scriptures, and I'm thinking, no, does this apply to me? Do I have to do this? And then the next one, look at this. Gil, to spin about, to be glad, to be joyful. Psalm 32, 11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. This one killed me. Because Gil is the term for rejoice. It means to spin about. And I'm thinking, no way. But you see, I needed God in my life. And I thank God that he set me free from a lot of fears. I was suicidal the first couple of months after I received Christ. I knew I needed some help. I didn't know what you called it. I knew there was just some heavy oppression over my life. And, you know, I had to make a decision. Either I'm going to submit to God's ways or my way. My way wasn't working. And so I'm not joking. At midnight at night, I'd be in my backyard practicing. I'm not joking. I really did. But Dad was out there late one night, and he looking at me like, boy, you got a problem. Why are you out here at midnight dancing circles, you know? But you see, God says, I want you to gil. And then the next one, alots. Rejoice, jump for joy. Psalm 68, verse 3, let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice. Rejoice means, in the Hebrew, alots, means to shout for joy, to jump for joy. So as I began to read through these verses, I began to understand a little more clearly why these people at this little bitty church behaved like they did. They saw some stuff take place, and over a while, I started to see some things take place. It's amazing. When you see God do stuff, it changes you. All you need to do is see a blind eye open one time, and it'll change you. All you need to do is to see miracles take place, and it'll change you. And you go, what? You know what? That church, they may be a little weird, but man, stuff happens there. Stuff happens there. And it was at that point where my wife and I, we began to move into living in the miraculous, seeing God do stuff. And we're still seeing God do stuff. It's amazing, because what happens is we found out God says, this is how I want you to worship him. And so the day came where I had to make a decision. You know what? It's not about the people. It's not about me. It's about him. And so I kind of moved up more and more towards the front. God washed away and dealt with, you know, a lot of the ego, the pride, whatever. And the more I did that, the more freedom I began to sense in my spirit. And so it got to the point where I would just up in the front there, and I didn't care. I don't care. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you might say. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to yield if I need to yield. I'm going to do whatever. I just carry on. You know why? Because I found out that that was the number one way to see Christ move in my life. My wife and I told the story before, we were up at Sacramento at one of the Morris Sorellos meetings, and the people up there in the atmosphere of praise and worship, they had all the gurneys from the ambulances over on the left-hand side, and people began to get up, get healed, etc., right in the midst of praise and worship. Amen? Okay. What I want to do, if you go to the next slide there, Gary, is I want to peel back the curtain, if you will, and find out and ask ourselves what is really going on when we come to church on Sunday morning. Is it just to sing a song, to have Pastor Nicole get up here and, you know, we clap our hands? What's really going on? We got people that come in this church whose marriage is about to blow up. I mean, their body is racked with pain and sickness. We got people that come into this church whose job is on the line, etc. So there's people coming in the house here on an every Sunday morning basis. And what God has designed is for the atmosphere of praise and worship to be thick among us so that the reality of his greatness can be experienced. And what I want to do here for the next few minutes is pull back the curtain and kind of give us a glimpse of what's really going on when we come to church on a Sunday morning, or what's really going on when you go into your closet in your war room and you shut that door and it's just you and God. And you're whispering praise to him. When things are dark and you're just pouring out your heart and you're giving him praise and worship, what's going on? Let's look at the next slide there, Gary. And this is number one. Number one, God desires to sit among us. Now, Pastor John was so kind to help me here that it is not Psalm 23. It is Psalm 22. So correct your notes. But let's read that out loud together, the verse here. Ready, go. You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. That word enthroned in the Hebrew is yashab, which means to sit down and to remain. So here's what's happening. We begin to worship. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord go back and forth across the earth so that he can show himself strong to those whose hearts are towards him. The Bible says that he's looking for those that are worshipers, right?
Yes.
In John chapter 4. So here, George Lovato comes to church. Scoot over, George. Scoot over. Park it down. So George comes to church. He begins to worship and praise. And it's like Jesus walks up and says, okay, I see somebody. Can I come and sit down next to you? And it's like the presence of God comes down and sits. See, that's what God wants to do. He wants to be among his people. That's why this whole thing has been set up. The Old Testament, the New Testament. You doing all right? Okay. You worship. You worship. Christ comes and sits next to you and basically is saying, what do you need, man? What's up? How things going? What do you need? Because see, Christ wants, in fact, you go through the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament, the sacrifices of the temple was for the single purpose of God dwelling among his people. And when Jesus came, he came to be among his people. And when he poured out his Holy Spirit and he ordained worship for the purpose of being among his people. Look to your left. You never know who's sitting next to you, who's sitting to your right. Not only sitting next to you, but sitting upon you. Jesus has a passion to be with his people. So it doesn't matter whether you're in your car, doesn't matter whether you're in your war room, your little closet, doesn't matter whether you're in a cubicle at a corporation, does not matter. You're sitting here, whatever. Everybody, you begin to worship. God says, I want to come sit next to you. I want to be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There's the presence of Christ available. Problem is, many times I would do that. I didn't feel him. I didn't feel God's presence. I mean, I began to worship and it was like I was spitting straws, nothing. But you see, that has nothing to do with it. The way I feel has nothing to do with it. What I begin to do is God says, come on, there's war going on. Jesus said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You begin to worship and you begin to praise. And I don't know how many times I would be, or my wife, we'd be in some very difficult situations. We begin to praise God. We begin to worship. Time would go by, and we're thinking, God, we need you. Time would go by, and then over time, that would be major, major breakthroughs in terms of somebody's in the house. He's here. He's here. In fact, he's here this morning at Gateway. And I'm going to encourage you, friends, to understand that as you begin to praise, you enthrone, you have Jesus come and sit down to be a part of you. Amen? Amen. That's number one. Number two, the Lord is stirred by our praise. Isaiah 42, let's read that out loud. Ready, go. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth. Okay, stop. So here, obviously, we're responding to the Lord. We're going to sing. We're going to worship him, etc. But watch the response from the Lord. Ready, go. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. Now, that little picture there is Christ when he cleared out the temple of the money changers. So watch this. Here's the background. See, something happens in the heart of our Father. He's not a God afar off that can't hear and can't respond. Amen? And what happens is there's something that stirs inside of the heart of Christ. It's like in this setting here, Matthew 21, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem on a donkey, right? And people are singing Hosanna, Hosanna to him. And when he hears that, something stirs inside, and he goes into the temple, and he hears people worshiping him, Hosanna. And right then and there, he begins to open up the blind eyes and heal. It's in Matthew 21. He begins to heal the sick. And the Pharisees said, hey, you know what? Tell your people to be quiet. And Jesus said, hey, listen, if these people would be quiet, the rocks would cry out. Because you see, something stirred inside him. And that's when he cleaned out the temple. He said, this is not right. All what you guys are doing is not right. He says, my house is to be a house of prayer. It was the praise and worship that got him started. In fact, he said, didn't I say in Psalms that it's out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, the little ones, that praise would come up, that strength would come up. You see, when you begin to praise, you got to know this, Gateway, that something stirs in the heart of our Father towards you in your circumstance. Peter tells us the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto your prayer. But Peter is quoting from Psalm 32, and we read in Psalm 32, he says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto your cry. There's something in the heart of God that says, hey, you begin to worship me, you're inviting me into your presence. And there's a stirring that takes place. It reminds me of a friend that I had years ago. His name is Victor. Victor had a situation in his spine where they needed to operate to clear out some of the arteries. And in order to get the arteries completely clear of any type of blood vessels, they had to cut the nerve from his waist down that controlled his bodily functions. And so after the operation, they told him that we were successful and that we got all the arteries out around the spine, but we had to cut the nerve that controlled your bodily functions and movement, so he could not move his legs. So we had the good news and the bad news. So what do you do when you can't walk and the doctor gives you some bad news? What do? You go back to your room there at Stanford Hospital and you begin to cry out to God, because there's something in the heart of God that says, I'm for you. I'm not against you. I want to help you. I'm a God that's very present in the time of need. He begins to cry out, and within 3 hours, he was moving his toes. And I go see Victor the next day. I'm standing next to Victor's bed. He's right here, and the head surgeon from Stanford University walks in, and he's standing right here with three other doctors, and this gentleman says, I hear you can move your legs. And so Victor began to move his legs like this on the bed, and the doctor, I saw his jaw drop to the ground. He said, this shouldn't be. And Victor says, I began to cry out to God after you told me the bad news, and my God is able to, and Victor's walking now. He's fine. You never know. You never know what the heart of the Father has towards you. Don't give up when it gets dark. Don't give up when things are not working out, because your praise stirs up the heart of our Father to act in your behalf. Okay? Number three, praise creates a highway for God's presence. Let's read this out loud. Psalm 68. Ready, go. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Prepare the way for him who rides through the desert. Then down at the bottom is another way to translate it. I prepare the way for him who rides through the deserts. Now, this is an analogy. Does it really literally take place where you begin to worship and all of a sudden God's driving you down 101. No. But it's an analogy of what he's trying to tell us is that when we begin to worship and praise, okay, there is a shifting in the spiritual realm. Darkness moves and light comes so that God's presence can be experienced among his people. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes you begin to worship and praise. It's just like Daniel in the Old Testament. He began to seek God, but nothing happened for 3 weeks. You remember there was spiritual warfare. And the angel said, from the moment you began to seek God, I was on my way. But the angel of darkness there over the region hindered him from coming through. You see, over the Bay Area, there are strongholds, principalities and powers that want to resist your presence from having any kind of breakthrough within your life. All you need to do is realize this, that it's just a matter of time, whether it's 5 minutes, an hour, or whatever, a couple of years, whatever. When you begin to praise God, you're creating an atmosphere of his praise to come in. You're creating an atmosphere where there's a highway for him to be able to have access to what, you know, what you're going through and what you might be experiencing. Years ago, I had a young man in the ministry come up to me and say, I'm quitting. What are you quitting? He says, I'm quitting my work because this vice president there, he's criticizing me, he's mocking me, he wants to fire me, and Jonathan, he's crying. And I said, no, we don't quit. Now, if God's telling you to go work someplace else, go for it. But we don't quit, not in this environment. I said, here's what you do. You go back to that company tomorrow, and the first thing you do is you walk into the building, and you don't have to yell it out, you don't have to be weird, but just under your breath say, Jesus Christ is Lord of this place. Jesus Christ is Lord here. And secondly, you take authority over any darkness that's over that building, over the people. Thirdly, you go in and shine. Share your heart, share the love of Christ with your co-workers. And so he did. Jonathan goes back in the next day and does that. Because you see what happens, regardless of where you're at, your job on this earth is to create an environment of the presence of God wherever you go. You do that through your praise and worship. You do that in your workplace. You do that at the gas station. You can do it at the mall. You can do it at the grocery store. You can be walking the aisle in the bread section of the grocery store having praise and worship just on your mouth here, and you bring in the presence of God. I mean, we don't have time to tell all the stories of when you see that actually taking place, but that's literally true. You can make a choice today to carry the presence of God with you wherever you go. And so what happens is that Jonathan went back to work the next day. And that's exactly what he did. And he comes back to me 2 weeks later. He says, you're not going to believe what happened. He says, after 2 weeks, one of the other vice presidents comes to me and says, what happened to Larry, that other guy? You know, it's been a couple of weeks now. He stopped criticizing you. He likes you. And why the difference? And Jonathan said, well, I prayed for him. And this other guy says, can you pray for me? And which he did. And so what happened was, within 2 weeks time frame, Jonathan got a promotion, he got a $10,000 raise, and he led three other young men to Christ within that 3 week period. Because he chose to, using the vernacular of Psalm 68, to create a highway for the presence of God. You got it? Make sense? See, you can do that. See, Brad, you can do that at City Hall. You just walk in there and just, you know, you could choose to carry the presence of Christ within you. I wish we had time. I could tell you story after story after story of things like that that took place. Send an email to Pastor David because I got some more stories. My time's up. Prepare a highway. Number four, God triumphs in our praise. You shall have a song in the night when a holy festival is kept. The Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard. And in every place where the staff of punishment passes, it will be with tambourines and harps. God has designed praise and worship as the means of where he can come in and sit down among us, where he can see his manifest grace because his heart is stirred, create a highway for his presence, and then when we have, in fact, I've known people that have had the tambourine where they worship God and they considered it their main battle weapon. Right. Your praise and worship is the greatest gift given to you by God to be able to engage darkness, to see his life, your praise and worship. I mean, there's a lot of times we need to resist, you know, darkness, etc., but sometimes people get all kilter there and it's all they do. We should be preoccupied with him. We should be preoccupied with praise and worship to him. In the final analysis, Gary, if you could turn that, put that last slide up here. Here's where we're going here. And you can go ahead and start playing, Bobby, because we're going to have a time of praise and worship here. Victory in battle is assured in an atmosphere of praise. So here's my story, Gateway, is that years ago, because of the way I was brought up and some of the things I was raised in, I had a bias against doing all this stuff here. But anymore, I usually sit right over here on the Sunday morning and Pastor David's preaching, and I usually have to contain myself because I don't want to, you know, be out of place here. But inside, there's something that says, you know what? I've experienced what it means to gil, to teruah, to halah, to do all these things here, and I've seen firsthand what he can do when we enter into praise and worship. Let's all stand up, Gateway, because what we want to do right now, and I believe the Spirit of God is here today, right now, to bring everybody in this building here to another level of worship and praise. Let's just close our eyes right now, close our eyes. And this may be the first time. I remember the very first time I raised my hands in church. I remember it. Oh, it killed me. But I did it out of obedience to the Lord. Let's all just raise our hands. Father, I just thank you right now. Right now, just begin to praise him, to worship him. I don't know what situation in life you're experiencing. I don't know anybody here that has a need in their life. But Lord, right now, we just praise you. And you said that you would come and sit next to us. You would be with us. Your heart is stirred towards us. And Lord, you would, Lord, cause a highway to be established for your presence. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would touch every person in this room. Lord, whatever area they're living through right now, I speak in Jesus' name by the authority of the kingdom of King. The Lord God, you saturate the souls right now with your grace and your strength, and that your power rest upon the people. That when we leave this morning, we would have been changed because our lives have been touched by you. In Jesus' name.
Sing it together. You bring life. You bring light. You are love. Slow it down a little. Bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Sing it to him. Great. Great are you, Lord. Let's all try this together. Lift your hands. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you.
It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs.
We reach out.
So we pour out. Oh.
going to have prayer. In fact, if you're on the prayer team, we're going to invite you to come up here to the front here, and then we're going to have a general prayer that we want to have a blessing. But before we do this, there are people here today who have never made Christ Lord of their lives. There's a little card in the front of the seat, the back of the seat in front of you here. Basically, it says, I've decided. And this is what happened to me February 8th, 1976, about 12:30 in the afternoon. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it all meant. I just knew that Jesus was knocking on my heart. And I couldn't describe it, but I knew that I needed to do something. So that's why we have these cards here. All you need to do is pull that out and put a check mark there and put your name on it and say, I've decided I want to know Christ. And I want to know his forgiveness, and I want to know what he has available to me and the life that's available because of receiving him as Lord. If you do that there, fill that out, bring that up to me after the service or give it to one of the ushers. We want to talk to you. We want to help you. We want to give you an understanding of what this is all about. Because like I said, when I first received Christ, I hadn't any idea what was going on, but I had some people help me, and we want to help you too. So let's all say this prayer, not this prayer, this prayer. Ready? Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name. For anybody that's here, that's the Lord, you're tugging on their heart to know you as Lord. I ask, Lord God, that they would have the breakthrough of any fears, any apprehensions. And Lord, today be the day of you coming into their lives. So let's all just pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I need you. I want you to come into my heart. I want you to forgive my sins. Be my Lord. Be my God. And this day, I choose to serve you. With all that I have, and I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, fill that card out, give it to me, give it to one of the ushers, and we want to contact you. Everybody else, let's say this prayer up on the wall. Ready, go. This day, I praise you. I praise you for your greatness, power, and might. I love you with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. This day, I praise you for your victory in every area of my life. Thank you for being my Lord, my King, and my joy. Thank you for always giving me the victory through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's give God praise. Praise God. Amen. Well, I hope you got something out of it this morning here. And let's just carry this through the day tomorrow. And let's be worshipers. If you need prayer, we got the prayer teams are up here. I sense some of you do. You need some breakthroughs. Come on up here to the front. Otherwise, go sign up for the Making Disciples, the marriage seminar in the foyer. Go see Steve Brown and Rosa over in the cafe. Gateway, be blessed. Memorial Day weekend. And be encouraged. God bless.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.